Balance of Nature's fruits and vegetables in a capsule, changing the world one life at a time.
My main focus was I want to be healthy. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to get a cold. I don't want to get the flu. I was just trying to make sure that I can get up each day and not go, oh, my gosh, I feel like crap. I don't even want to get out of bed. I wanted to be like, all right, let's go. And I feel like I've accomplished that. I got the energy that I need, and I don't get sick, and it's good. So I'm attributing that to the balance of nature. And it's like, wow, man, this is great.
Get a wide variety of all your daily recommended servings of whole fruits and vegetables without having to leave your home. Right now, Balance of Nature is offering free shipping and 35% off on any new preferred order. Call 1-800-246-8751 or go to balanceofnature.com and make sure to receive this special radio offer by using discount code KATE.
Hey, everybody, just letting you know that Mike Lindell and I, the MyPillow guy, we partnered up, and he wants to help this show, and I want to help him. If you go to MyPillow.com and order all the products you know you're going to buy, towels, sheets, blankets, robes, all these kinds of things, dog beds even, go to MyPillow.com and use the code word KATE, K-A-T-E. You're going to get the deepest discount on all these items. They're the very best of all these items. He handpicked these things, and let me just tell you, you're also going to help Truth and Radio, and you're also going to be helping Mike Lindell. Isn't that fantastic? It's a great combination that you can do right from your own home. Call 800-873-1052. That's the phone number, 800-873-1052. You can order directly on that phone number or go to MyPillow.com, but make sure to put the code word KATE in. Thanks, you guys.
Bribing the Ukraine, hair sniffing, and other things. I think, whatever the thing is,
where am I?
The Kate Daly Show starts now.
Today, doctors at the Federal Communicable Disease Center acknowledge the flu vaccine in the recommended dosage is ineffective, while in a larger dose, it can be harmful. However, the flu vaccine is still recommended.
Last month, a Senate subcommittee headed by Abraham Ribicoff charged that the federal government wasn't doing a good enough job of informing the public about ineffective vaccines.
Scientists at the Division of Biologic Standards test vaccines for their potency and safety before licensing them for public use. However, the division does not determine the effectiveness of the vaccine. That is left to the manufacturers. A case in point is the influenza vaccine. Four scientists in charge of work on the flu vaccine during the 1960s found it to be ineffective, said they refused to give it to their own families. Two were transferred to other work, a third left the division. And over the entire 10-year period, not one word of their unfavorable findings was allowed to be published. That was 3 years after the division's own scientists had pointed out the danger. Dr. Murray justifies the use of the vaccine by saying it took 3 years to examine the evidence against it.
It was more important to use the vaccines than to take them off the market and remove the agent. It's more important to use the vaccines than to take them off the market and remove the agent.
For 3 years, American troops were injected with a cold-preventing vaccine which was causing cancer in laboratory animals.
Just wow. That's a lot to... Why am I in stereo? That's odd. For some reason, I'm in stereo. Okay. Anyway, I'm hearing myself in stereo, which is...
No, it is. It's picking me up like that, too.
What's the deal? Okay. Anyway, you know what? It's live radio. What can I say? I just sound like I'm... Okay. Well, that's going to be irritating.
Well, turn the echo off.
Well, I'm... How? You tell me. There's a gazillion buttons in front of me. Okay. Anyway, I'm not quite sure why that's coming through the way it is. But with that being said, let me try this. Okay. That's a little better, maybe. Anyway, welcome to the show. That was a lot to take in, that reel. But... And scary. Because... We have this whole other side of vaccines, the story that doesn't get told. And what's very interesting is it is told. Those segments ran on TV. Oh. We just don't acknowledge it. So the overload of propaganda is so much stronger that when you listen to a clip like that, you're like, well, wait a second. wait a minute. They played that back in the 60s and 70s. Why did we not believe them that they were trying to warn us of danger? But right now, it is this constant overload of it's safe, it's safe, it's safe, even though it's experimental and came out 5 minutes ago. It's totally safe, people. And get your ShamWow, you know. You can have your second ShamWow for free.
That's awesome.
And the Ginsu knives. And we go, oh, okay. But we don't remember all these clips that came out. That's why I like to play them.
Well, and you notice... now I'm having the echo,
too.
But do
strange.
I sound okay to you?
Yeah.
So the issue is, why aren't you hearing that thing on any show today? And I had an interesting conversation with a patient of mine, older patient, who went down to one of Phyllis Schlafly's courses before she died. And she ran into, he was on Fox News for so long. He was O'Brien, the mm-hmm. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Anyway. And... So she said to him, you know, your son talks about so many controversial subjects on his, this is before he was let go, on so many controversial subjects. And he said, but never talks about vaccine injury. Why doesn't he do that? She says, she was in her 80s. She says, I don't know, but I'll ask him. Mm-hmm. So she came back and she said, he said the big boys at Fox said never, ever, ever talked about that. And the reason is because it is the pharmaceutical agencies, let's just look at this. The pharmaceutical agencies are the biggest funder of political campaigns. They're
right.
The biggest contribution to all levels. And in fact, oh, now I can't.
Go ahead.
Yeah, they also, in my state, I looked at every little politician from the state on up got money. It might not have been a lot, but they got money.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with the Fed. So this big money. It's also the biggest contribution to all forms of media. They support the media. A lot of media would be dead if it weren't for the pharmaceutical industries. They also are the biggest funder of the FDA, mm-hmm. the CDC. So let's just look at this. They got indemnified against the PREP Act. They're indemnified against vaccine damage. So they bought their own legal help,
amazing.
Right?
Yes.
Through the Congress. They buy their own regulation. They don't do their own the FDA doesn't do any studies. They just get the studies from the drug companies we talked about yesterday or the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And then they pay for having them reviewed. And they pay for their own cheerleading section through the CDC. So they are like we are the land of pharma control. I mean, they control so much of our life, including the narrative about this. And so that's why you're playing things from the 60s when they actually questioned it. You know, when things have changed since vaccines became profitable.
By the way, I have Dr. Lee Merritt on.
I forgot to mention
Dr. Lee Merritt, Uncle Melty's here, and what a conversation we're going to have. And she's going to take your calls in this hour and your questions. Please just stick to this topic so we can answer these questions. But 888-673-1450. She'll be answering them live because she speaks tonight in my city. And so nice. I'm really excited about this and Red Lion tonight. And so I'm very, very excited to have that Citizens for Constitutional Government brought you in because that's an amazing group. And I'm just glad that they had the foresight to bring you here. And of course, she'll answer your questions. So I can't wait for this. But I do want you to give a little backdrop before we take calls about IBM. About IBM and this whole industry, because I think it's so important. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, people think that it's all disconnected.
Yeah.
That, you know, we heard about Bill Gates' father with Planned Parenthood.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's really the eugenics movement. And so people have said, what's this all about? Is this a depopulation thing? And they're always shot down by saying, oh, you stupid conspiracy theorist.
Right.
This is about helping to save lives with these wonderful agents, you know. Well, it's hard not to be a little skeptical of what's been going on when you know the history and also the history of the pharmaceutical companies. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, in World War II, outside of every death camp were the Hollerith machines. And Hollerith was a guy, Herman Hollerith. He was he invented the punch cards that, you know, I remember using those when you didn't have your personal computer. You had to do these things. Anyway, you run the punch cards through and they could tabulate, you know, all about the people going to, the prisoners coming to and from the camps. Well, that company was later bought out by IBM, and IBM CEO was Thomas Watson. His grandson or his granddaughter married the chairman of Plan, the Margaret Sanger's grandson.
Ugh, sounds like an arranged
marriage.
And Bill Gates,
his father was on the board, big lawyer on the board of Planned Parenthood. So, and when Bill Gates talks about you know, decreasing population through vaccination, which, you know,
he has said this, and I have him on tape.
And his idea, he claims that he means that by vaccinating children so they live through childhood diseases, people won't have as many children. But, you know, just listen to his TED talk on innovating to zero. And what he's talking about, zero, by the way, the other false narrative that they give you here is this innovating to zero refers to carbon dioxide. Carbon dioxide, we are in an era really of carbon dioxide starvation. They don't tell you this, but my friend Willie Soon from Harvard, who's a big environment, he's actually an astrophysicist and knows how to look at this stuff. And he points out that in the history of the world, we're at 419 parts per million, that below 1,700 parts per million, plants do not thrive. They start struggling. And we are way down. So when they tell you they want to lower the CO2, what they're really saying is they want famines. They want to bring this down. So there's a whole it's just how it's interesting how they're all interconnected.
Let me play this clip, 30 seconds, Bill Gates.
First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%.
$10 billion.
Wow, we could lower it.
We could lower it.
And nobody bats an eye. They're like, oh, yeah. Yay, Bill. Right. Lower it. If we do a really good job with vaccinations, we could lower the population. That's a frightening statement.
Doesn't sound like life-saving to me.
No. And you know, everybody's connected. So Deborah Birx, the CDC guy, she was the head, I don't know if she still is, of the Global Fund, of Gates Global Fund, that was notorious for misuse of dollars, by the way. Yeah. Tony Fauci, he was the head of the decade. He was the chairman of the Decade of Vaccines Council. So these guys are all getting big money from Gates.
Right.
Don't think they're independent.
They do the bidding.
You know, it shouldn't be. And I thought there was a, you know, we can't, as physicians, we can't even, if we took a kickback from anybody, we'd be delicensed and tarred and feathered, right?
Yeah.
But you're talking about...
It's built on kickbacks.
Right. This whole thing's built on kickbacks. Tony Fauci not only has the biggest salary in the federal government, he's allowed to keep his salary and get money through these other sources of income.
Right.
And it doesn't diminish his salary. And he's then deciding policy on the without, you know, you just can't make this up.
And they're paying the doctors with the vaccinations. So they're also on the other side of this, handing out this money too, to say, hey, increase this program, and that's why I think we're seeing a lot more bullying with the patients, young moms. I sense this tactic. You know, the parents are feeling like when they go in, they're getting sort of accosted by nurses and doctors telling them that they must vaccinate and shaming them if they don't.
Yep.
Oh, that's right. And I will guarantee you that the nurses and doctors involved in that have really not looked at the science themselves. I say that having been there. You know, I grew up believing in vaccines out of medical school and out of residency. But I do remember in 1976, when I was a freshman medical student, and they taught us about infectious diseases. They really taught us honestly back then, because vaccines weren't profitable until the use of adjuvants, which came in much later in the 90s.
And that's what's made them more of a mess.
That's what's become this. And this is, and so we were taught that it wasn't, you know, they showed us how the measles death went almost to zero, like down to like 200 children a year at the most in America.
Yeah.
And then they brought in the vaccine for measles. So the idea that it was the measles vaccine that got rid of measles, and they used to tell us in medical school, it wasn't the vaccine, it wasn't doctors, it was plumbers, meaning that it was better sanitation, better diet.
Yes.
That's what
Amen.
That really is. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I agree with you. Okay, we are going to take calls from here on out. So call in. If you call and I pick up the call, you might be on hold a little bit. Don't hang up and just sit there. I'll get to you and your phone call. And so we've got multiple lines, and I will make sure that we get all your questions answered as much as we possibly can. Dr. Lee Merritt is here, and she will be answering these questions about all the subjects we've covered. And just make sure it's a short question, if you will. So I know you probably agree with what she's saying, but if you have a good question for her, this would be such a great time to bring that on, and then we will go ahead and have her answer questions, because I really wanted to make sure that everyone, or not everyone obviously, but those people have an opportunity to ask her directly. I know you're probably excited to possibly ask her some questions. We'll be right back on the Kate Daly Show, and from here on out, questions and answers. So this will be fun. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.
talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Welcome, Kate Daly Show. So glad to be here. And yes, it's my life and it's your life. And Dr. Lee Merritt is with me, and it's her life too. And our lives are certainly on the line right now. Body autonomy is a big, big deal. And I just wanted to mention, go to mypillow.com, order up some great products. Mike and I have partnered up, and he is helping this show. And I so appreciate that, because he's offering these wonderful products, and the show gets part of that. And let me just tell you, please do it. It helps us stay on the air as we're independent. And then also, you're going to be helping Mike in all of his endeavors as well. We'll take your quick questions. By the way, use the code Kate. Use the code Kate, and then you can help Truth and Radio, and you can also help Mike and get great products. But go to the website, because there's so many products there at MyPillow.com. Let's take some quick questions, shall we, Dr. Merritt? This
sure.
will be so good. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. What's your question?
Unfortunately, the question is not real quick, but I've written it out, and I'll go through it quickly because I think it is an extremely important question for the doctor to answer. Mm-hmm. But I want to thank her for being a president and a member of the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. They mm-hmm. are, if you're in the MAA, if you're in the American Medical Association, your MD, and you don't support socialism, you should be getting out immediately and joining this mm-hmm. organization. Yeah. This is anti-Marxist
Thank
organization.
You.
But to my question, I think you're going to probably disagree with my conclusion, Doctor, a little, maybe mm-hmm. a lot, but I'm with the in the camp of those doctors and others that have investigated this COVID-19 and have concluded there is nothing or virtually nothing to it, no deaths. And I'm going to list some about 8 reasons in a real short.
We better hurry. You have about a minute, so make it quick.
Okay, well, that'll be just enough. First of all, the CDC stated, and they constantly contradicting themselves. I don't know if you know, they've gone back and forth about a dozen times, but they said last year's death toll in America was lower than the previous 3 years, and so where are the deaths? Secondly, studies, different sources have said. One source is the Institute of Pure and Applied Knowledge. They had an audit of the CDC, an external audit, and they concluded the death tolls were 16-fold above the actual numbers. Mm-hmm. Another bit of evidence is the hospitalization rate. It's been staying pretty much at the normal rate. No significant increases last year over mm-hmm. the normal rate, about 57%.
So what's your question, though? Is your question for Dr. Merritt, does she agree? Because I know we've talked about those evidences on the show, but is your question, has she seen all of this? Is that the question?
Yeah. Does she want to clarify our assertion that there's virtually nothing to this? The PCR test is worthless. Mm-hmm. John Hopkins has lied about their numbers all over the place. The second highest firing rate for any occupation, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, 68% of all of them were fired out of 1,000 occupations, is respiratory therapists. This is a respiratory condition.
Oh, that's an interesting point.
Respiratory therapists are probably the most needed.
Okay,
go ahead,
all right.
Doctor.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Go ahead.
Well, okay. So, you know, I see your point, and mm-hmm. I agree with you. The PCR test was fallacious. There was just, and that's why it's
there's
hard
no sample
to sort
to
this
control
out.
That test,
right.
Yeah.
It's really hard. I hear there's no purified sample. I mean, it's really hard to get, it shouldn't be this hard to get your head wrapped around what the truth is. It's a shifting sand problem. However, having said that, just the fact that we don't have more deaths doesn't mean that we didn't replace some deaths with COVID deaths. And I do think, I got to say, from my own observation, 40 years in medicine, watching flu patients, having the flu myself, there is something different here. And one of the facts I will tell you is, in my surgical practice, overwhelmingly, I ask people what their blood type is, it's O positive. Overwhelmingly, I ask people what their blood type is, it's A. So there's that, and it has a little different demographic. You know, flu doesn't kill young people when they're obese, but this is when you ask. I have patients that are mm-hmm. nurses in the ICU, and they'll say, when they have these young people, it's so tragic. But if you look at it, it's filled with obese people.
Right.
So there is something. Having said that, I don't think you're right. It isn't. The point that whether it exists as a separate entity or not, the point is we didn't have a pandemic
yes.
of any note.
Yes.
We had a bad flu season with a little different virus.
Which we get strains all the time.
And I do believe this. I mean, I think I can prove in more time I have right now that this came out of a lab. I think that's very clear, the upregulation. However, having said that, viruses attenuate over time. So what we saw is a bad thing coming across China and maybe Italy. In New York, it kind of like all viruses. If you want to be the Napoleon of viruses, you can't kill everybody you run into. So you become weaker and more transmissible. That's what happened.
All right, thank you for that. And they did they did do the flu. They stopped counting the flu February 9th all across Europe, which is a very interesting I think component added into this conversation. Hi, caller. What's your question for Dr. Lee Merritt?
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. And
sure.
Thank you so much for Dr. Merritt coming to St. George. So my question is, I listened yesterday, and she told us a website where we could get hydroxychloroquine. Mm-hmm.
Where you can go to find out where you can get it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The question is, do you also have a source where we can get ivermectin?
Same places. So you go to... if you go to my website, there's a big red button on the right.
The medical rebel.com.
So three words, themedicalrebel.com. Push the red button. It has all sorts of other information too that you might benefit from. So so if you go there, then you can look at your options. More will be coming up. I didn't put down the actual, all the websites you can find, because you can search Google and DuckDuckGo and find sites of overseas pharmacies to get ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. But I just tell you, there's protocols. I tell you what to do after you've gotten to that decision point.
Excellent. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. Caller, you're live.
Mike from Florida.
Hi there.
Wow.
Dr. Merritt, thank you times 1,000,000. I might have a candidate for the acronym you're looking for.
Oh, good.
What is it?
Experimental Synthetic Pathogen.
ESP. Hey, I like that.
That's cool.
It's an ESP, an ESP.
You're free to use it license-free forever.
Okay. I was going to ask you if I had to give you royalties.
Well, they certainly had ESP to absolutely start manufacturing the cure before we even knew what this was.
That's another point. Yeah. I love it. Thank you so much.
That's great. That was great. You know what? That was fantastic.
That was great.
ESP.
That was great. ESPs, ESPs.
Yes. And you were talking about, there's all kinds of angles that we could go on this, because the blood type is one, ethnicity is another, which is really kind of hit by different viruses. You've got all kinds of different conversations in this. And I have struggled with the same thing that first caller called about too, is the fact that they don't even have a sample of it.
Right.
The CDC and China both admit it, yet what is this? And I had those, all the symptoms back in the first January. And all the doctor said to me was, oh, this is another strain. We get them all the time.
And could be.
This one affects breathing. So you never know.
I really don't know. But what I can tell you is that if we don't know about that, then we know even less about the so-called vaccines, these ESPs.
Sure.
I love
ESPs,
it.
Now I love it. That is great.
Experimental synthetic pathogen.
Thanks, Mike. That was awesome.
Beautiful.
Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Dr. Merritt, the uterine lining is the cradle of life.
Okay.
Vaccines are really messing with these fertile women.
And it seems to be. That seems to be. And I actually...
thank you for that question.
Yeah, thank you. I think this is really tragic. If you want to experiment with yourself, I'm of the libertarian bent that people have the right to their own body, meaning you can't be forced to have a medical treatment. Mm-hmm. You should never be forced. I don't care what the situation is. And then you should have the freedom to get what you want. Isn't that funny? In the freedom of America, theoretically, we have to beg the government for any drugs that we want, but we are forced to take things we don't want. That's where this is going.
And women that are pregnant are worried about eating too much mercury, and then they'll turn around and do the shot, and they're having some experiences, aren't they, in deliveries now, where they might be having a hard time bleeding out, like as far as too much blood circulating, and that there could be some issues with that. And so they're saying home births might not be a great avenue. You might want to go to the hospital. So I'm hearing these things, and I'm...
Well, and I, you know, the issue now of miscarriage is really, and that's what he's really speaking to. So we saw, so the bottom line is, and this is Dr. Michael Yaden and who's a former chief science officer of Pfizer, and Wolfgang Wodarg in Europe. And they have filed against the EMA, which is the European FDA, to try to stop this vaccine because they believe what the caller just said, that there's a reaction with the vaccine produces an antibody in you that will react with this area, this syncytial trophoblast is the layer in the woman's uterus, in the placenta actually, which would cause loss of the baby. And we're seeing, as I said yesterday, you know, if something gets censored, you should look at it. Well, what's happening, or fact checked. So what's happening is the yellow card is the British kind of, it's not VAERS. It looks at all sorts of medical issues because they're not just about, they're a socialized system. So they're looking at things. And so big headlines, 366% increase in miscarriage in the yellow card reported.
Jeez. Okay.
Now, the first thing that happens, it gets reported in a couple sites, and the first thing that happens is the fact checkers come out, and I have a copy of that now, and it's like four fact checkers saying, not true, not true, not true, not true. So I decided, I'm going to look at it myself, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know how to use the yellow card, but I went to VAERS, and this was done this morning, so this is hot off the press, and this is looking at the first 3 months, just the first 3 months, and I looked at 4 years in a row. In 2018, there were 5 miscarriages attributed to vaccination. This is the vaccine adverse event report.
On miscarriages.
Okay. Yeah, on miscarriages. In 2019, there was 0.
Okay.
In 2020, there were 2. Mm-hmm. And in 2021, there were 68. So that's an increase of 1,842%, which is, you know, more than 366%.
Pretty big. Big jump.
So they're saying it's false, but there's something going on here.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm glad you brought that to people's attention. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Quick question.
Yes. Why aren't there more medical professionals banding together to compare notes and come up with questions to ask these bozos who are implementing this scam?
Yeah, there you go.
Well, it's not that we haven't. It's not that we aren't. I mean, besides the America's Frontline Doctors, we got the AAPS.
Yaden and all these doctors. We played their clips on the show.
There's a lot of doctors. You're not hearing about it because it's completely censored, okay? Yeah. And think about this. You know, Pierre Corey, Peter McCullough, these are big-name physicians. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dr. Corey is an ICU professor, teaches people how to set up ICUs and run ICUs for critical care. And so he went to the Congress of the United States and talked about ivermectin. Dr. McCullough talked about his protocols. We've got Dr. Zelenko, you know, all these people, Didier Raoul in France. And what has happened to all of them is, if they haven't had their licenses threatened, you know, Dr. Zelenko saved all these people's lives out in New York when everybody was dying. And you know what happened? They went after him for for false advertising, saying that hydroxychloroquine is an approved drug. It is an FDA-approved drug, you know. And then Peter McCullough, I love this one. Dr. McCullough is a very big, well-known cardiologist. He's at Baylor University, one of the most published doctors in the world, over 1,000 publications. He puts up decides to collate all these ideas and puts up an outpatient protocol for treatment of COVID. That's very successful, by the way. Decreases death rate, you know, considerably. They say 78% just by using hydroxychloroquine. Anyway, so these guys he puts this up, I think, on Facebook, and he gets censored with a Facebook warning that says, you are violating the terms of our agreement by spreading medical disinformation. So here are these, you know, pogues at Facebook telling a senior physician he's spreading medical information. That's what's happening. So it's not that we're not standing up.
It's just it's getting
But we need you guys to stand up behind us and with us. That's 100%. The real thing, because they're coming after everybody.
Yep, and digital ID comes. We can't fight that.
No.
We can't fight it. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. More with Dr. Lee Merritt, one of the frontline doctors. So happy to have her in studio. She speaks tonight locally, and I'm really excited about that. Go to Citizens for a Constitutional Government on Facebook to find out more about it.
8-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You can stand me up at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
Hi there, welcome back, Kate Daly Show. Go to balanceofnature.com, make sure and get the supplement. 31 fruits and vegetables. The doctor that created this supplement over 20 years ago only cared about health. That was it. And I'm telling you, it is such a wonderful product. It'll help you feel amazing. And please, by all means, put in the code Kate, get 35% off and free shipping. And they are a wonderful sponsor of the show, and I thank them because they really do care about putting out a product that's pretty darn wonderful. And we're going to take phone calls for Dr. Lee Merritt. And I just wanted you to mention, as we take this first call, they are censoring vitamin D.
Right. So you know, we've known for decades that vitamin D is not a vitamin. It's a hormone. And it really does good things to the whole immune system. And we knew there was a study done years ago that showed it's more important than the flu vaccine in eliminating and not getting the flu. And yet now Canada, they're in this huge lockdown, and they are saying anybody that, like Dr. Naputo, anybody that advertises vitamin D, that's misinformation, and they're going after them. And so they're censoring vitamin D. Now, just think about that. Next, it'll be sun. You can't go out in the sun.
I don't have any words.
I know. And it's
if it's
you look
evil.
At, you know, this has been going on for 20 years. They continue to go after things that are helpful to us.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, caller, what's your question for Dr. Lee Merritt?
Hello, is that me?
Yes, that's you. Go right ahead.
Okay. I'm just curious about the vaccines or the so-called vaccines and how they affect the blood. And if they do, can it be transferred into the main blood supply?
Oops, you're breaking up there.
I'm sorry. Can it be transferred to what?
Like if somebody gives blood to...
Through the blood supply.
Okay, that's your question.
That's a really good question.
Yeah, go right ahead.
That's a really good question. And, you know, that's a changing field, so I'm not sure exactly where we stand right now. But I know that as of last week, one of the gals that helps me with data collection on the VAERS, she called the Red Cross, and they were not screening for people that had the vaccine. Okay,
that's
they were screening for symptomatic people, but not that they'd had the vaccine. You know, that is a concern to me.
I have to say
we don't know, and especially because we're seeing changes in the blood even to people that don't have known problems. We're seeing spherocytosis. One of the things that this adjuvant, the thing that they wrap the mRNA in, does in animal studies and in studies that were done before the release of the vaccine a number of years, they knew that it's Collegius saponins or something. It's one of the chemical parts of this adjuvant. It will strip hemoglobin from the red blood cells and change their morphology, change their shape.
And it's designed to get in so that the body doesn't recognize it as an enemy.
Right.
Like
that's why they put this. That's why they put it in this lipid membrane. And
your body's
also
supposed to recognize it.
They also have little segments in the mRNA. Series of the amino acids, series of the nucleotides. I mean, that are there to diminish your innate immunity so it doesn't chew up the DNA while it can do its work and mRNA.
And why would anyone want something injected into the body that is designed to fraudulently get in that cell to do something that your body would kick out? Wouldn't you want your body to normally kick this out?
I mean, right, to suppress your own innate immune system. I find that troubling.
Jeez. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi there. Hey, thanks so much. I have a really quick question because I keep seeing a lot of reports of people being or having reactions next to individuals that have had the vaccine, and they call it shedding.
Right.
Do you have any hypothesis as to what is happening with that?
Okay, thank you.
We have a lot of hypotheses. Unfortunately, we don't have any real good ideas at this point. But there was, if you go Dr. Tenpenny, it's Dr. T and Dr. P. There were five of us.
She's been on the show.
And she claimed that I was pleased to be asked because she said this was her dream team to debate this whole thing.
Sure.
But the issue is we don't exactly know what's happening, what comes out. You know, I said, I talked to Judy Mikovits about this too. I mean, is it the spike protein? I favor the spike protein.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many unique constituents of these agents, these ESPs, we're now going to call them, these experimental agents. So we don't completely know, but I think it's a real deal. And I think one of the scariest stories, and it's not a story, it's in the vaccine adverse event reporting system that the CDC puts up, okay? And it's a one-month-old baby that died after breastfeeding on the mother who took the second of the Pfizer vaccines.
Jeez.
Or the Moderna, one of the two, that you have two shots. Anyway, so something is passing through breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
Something is, and then you have people that are not in any kind of close, they're not sexual partners, they're not, mm-hmm. you know, they're just working around these people. And I just had a call today, actually, about a friend of mine's wife who's 5 weeks pregnant, and that's exactly what she's experiencing. You know, and this second trimester, it shouldn't be happening.
Could it be, we have a call, but could it be unleashing viruses that are dormant?
Well, that's one of the thoughts. Dr. Mikovits has that thought, but that doesn't, see, the fact that it causes a specific reaction, it's miscarriages, we think, and bleeding. That's the thing that the spike protein seems to do.
Okay.
So I kind of favor the spike protein, but what do we do about it is the next question.
Right. Okay. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi. Just saw on the CDC, the National Notifiable Diseases Surveillance System, NNDSS, and I wondered, and it's supposed to be established so that there'll be a small percentage of people who are fully vaccinated who get sick and are hospitalized and who die from COVID-19. I guess I want to ask you if you know about that, and I guess it's just another way to hide really who's dying and why.
Okay. Now, say that again.
It's called the National Notifiable Diseases Surveillance System. Right. Acronym is NNDSS.
Right. I'm familiar with that.
Okay.
But what's the point about the COVID?
Say the point again.
The purpose is that it's a small percentage of people who are fully vaccinated who will get sick and our hospitals and or might die from COVID-19 are now going to be reported into this NNDSS.
So they're talking about they're talking about reporting COVID vaccinated deaths, not just deaths of COVID. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, people who might get sick and are hospitalized. This is right on the CDC.
I got to tell you, I haven't seen that. I'll have to look at it. But
COVID-19
we already are looking at
case investigations.
Okay. Right.
Thank you.
You know, well, I'd say that's a good thing. They should be doing that. But we already have that numbers coming out of Israel. And so, I mean, I think we have some sense that that is happening already. But yeah, you know, I'd like to see us look at the data. Maybe we could get Chaim Yativ and Dr. Seligman from the Israeli citizens from France to look at this. But they in Israel, they've looked at this and they have a lot of that was the number one death reason for older people to die of COVID was after the vaccine. So, you know, so I think that it's going to be, I mean, I think we should be looking at it. I hope that's it, but I will look at that.
Yeah, and they have 75 more vaccines going. They have another 75 in trial with the animals right now, and we're going to be inundated with shot perspectives for whatever comes our way.
I think the sad thing is we know, and the little blurb that you played at the beginning of all this, we've known for a long time that there have been vaccine damages, and it's not questionable that they've taken vaccines off the market.
Right.
The idea that we should, as that one person said, we should push these forward just because we have no other treatment is a wrong ethical point. The precautionary principle says, you don't go first. You do no harm.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, we don't have enough. Yeah. We should have done a small sample of humans, and we shouldn't have done those until we had long-term animal studies, which we avoided.
You don't do a little harm so that you know can escape doing big harm. It's all harm. So why would they? Why would they even say that?
There's a risk-benefit analysis they did not do.
Yeah. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Hi, Dr. Merritt. I have a question. I'm in Colorado, and I'm not a social media guy. Can you think of any resources I could go to find any organizations that I can, you know, work with to try and stop this? Because they're forced vaccinating mentally challenged people in Los Angeles since
Operation Homebound.
They're going to be trying that on me next, and I know it.
Operation Homebound is what he's talking about.
Right. So. Well, there are a couple. You know, There's a stand up Nebraska and a stand up Ohio. There might be a stand up Colorado. There's also the Millions March Against Mandatory Vaccines, which is abbreviated MMAMV, and that's it's a mother's organization.
Good.
To try and stop mandatory vaccines. That's been going on for a long time about children in school. So I would look to I can tell you that there's also Iowans for Informed Choice, and if you contacted them, You can find them on the website. It's Iowans for Informed Choice. I'm not sure of their website, but if you Google that or DuckDuckGo or something, that they could probably find somebody because they're all connected. They know the other states.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So that would be my...
888-673-1450, 888-673-1450. We might have time for a couple extra calls. When I look at this whole year, I look at well-laid plans. I look at things that, boy, they were not surprised to get and all of a sudden had something in motion with the vaccines. And that comes from Bill Gates's bought and sold, what's her name, Sarah, who admitted that they started manufacturing the so-called cure before they even had really the disease or whatever they want to call it.
Right.
But it's kind of amazing, the timeline of things. And how do we brace ourselves for what's coming medically? Body autonomy is everything.
Sure.
And so what are we going to do?
And why do they think they... So people have heard about the term luciferase. That's been running around. And luciferase is basically the chemicals that go into... There's a family of chemicals that light up things. They're bioluminescent, so your fireflies and things like that.
Sure.
The reason that... And it's used... It actually is used to test things. It's been used in labs for a long time to follow metabolic processes. But one of the things they say they can do with it is they can wand you and then see if you had the vaccine or not. So don't ask your doctor for a vaccine waiver. That is not going to work, and it's really not fair to him because if they can't falsify a vaccine legally, and if they get caught, they're going to lose their license. They're good to nobody.
Right.
What people need to do is stand up, and what I would say is there are religious exemptions. There's on my website, again, themedicalrebel.com, I've got a thing about the Federal Code of Regulations, and it's Title 21. As long as this is experimental, it shouldn't... No medical treatment should be mandated by anybody, and especially the government. But you are theoretically protected by the Code of Federal Regulations, where it says you cannot be coerced or forced into an experiment. And they admit this is an experimental drug.
What happens though when a company, a church, anyone says, "Well, no, you have to." We're telling you, you have to have it to enter our store.
Right. Well, if I don't work at the store, I just don't go there. And let's hope the free market, such as what is left of it, sorts that out. The second thing is, if you work in a store, and you know, it's like if you work at a big chain, you know, and I don't want to name any, but you know who they are.
I name
that
them.
They say I just don't know Dome all, but say
Costco,
Walmart. I don't mind
way
Costco.
Yeah.
Okay, but it turned out like my local Costco had a mask thing, even when the federal mask the whole chain did not. In that situation, then the workers need to stand up.
Yeah.
And I can tell you, I found this out with the flu vaccine and nurses when they were mandating that nurses get it. In my state, the union nurses didn't. They got out of it. In New York State, I think they got out of it. They said you can't mandate it, and their union was strong enough. It said no. So there is a point to collective bargaining here, and people are going to have to realize what I don't want people to do is just roll over because it's too hard.
Yes.
Oh, I'll just take it because it's too hard.
I agree.
This could be, I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. And I'm not going to say we have the solid science to say this, but I think when you take a genetic agent like this, there's a potential for a lifelong damage. And I've heard other doctors smarter about this than me that says they don't think people will live long with this stuff. They think that it's designed to
break down the immune system.
Yes, if not damage your immune system, it's going to damage the next generation if you're of procreative age.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing is, do you want to because viruses and DNA and RNA, they can get into your DNA and pass down to your next generation.
Jeez.
So it's a really, really ugly thing that's happening to us.
It's a scary thought.
As your song said, we're at the gates of hell. We need to take this back now because we don't, we can't be the conservatives that fight among each other about little stuff now. We have to be really the people that stand up
body
for freedom.
Body autonomy.
Up for freedom.
Because if you lose that, you lose really all freedom. Because once they can inject you with something and make it so,
and
you can't change it.
And I know we're running out of time, but I made this comment to somebody. I said, how can you possibly claim that abortion should be available on the basis of body autonomy, my body, my choice, and you don't say that about vaccines? And the answer was, I think it was to an ACLU person, by the way, and the answer was, well, this is public health. Let me tell you, there is nothing, no liberty they cannot take away on the basis of safety. It is not their job. That's
Thank
not
you.
Government's job.
Oh, I'm excited to hear your presentation tonight. 7 p.m. Red Lion
Thanks
if you're in my area.
Me.
Thank you for coming and answering questions. She did that on her time, and I know her time is precious, and I really appreciate Dr. Lee Merritt for all that she brings to this cause. And, of course, be faithful, be fearless. See you back here tomorrow. And huge Friday show, so make sure that you're in attendance. I'm in Facebook jail. I would probably be talking more about this week's shows if I wasn't. Anyways, you guys see you tonight, and I'll also see you tomorrow.